Being the big vinyl lover that I am, I'm proud to tell you about Joe's Albums in their two locations. The original shop at 317 Main Street in downtown Worcester, Massachusetts, and their second location out in Western Mass at 5 Market Street, Northampton. Both of these shops are loaded with both new and used vinyl. It's hard to walk in either shop and walk out empty-handed due to their amazing collection of records and other cool goodies like t-shirts, mugs, posters, etc. If you can't find what you're looking for in the retail stores, check out their website, joesalbums.com. Thank you, Joe, for being so cool. Welcome to Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo, number 299. Oh my God, 299th episode. We got you started with brand new music from a relatively new band, Spiller. That one is called The Sparkler. And today, Chris Pearson, who you may remember from the early 90s experimental indie rock band Green Magnet School, will join us on the show. Chris and I had a lot to talk about. We'll get to that soon. This is kind of a last minute thing I'm going to lay on you here. If you're listening today, Thursday, it'll be tomorrow. We're having a closing reception for the Heavy Holidays Art Show at the New Alliance Gallery in Somerville Friday night, tomorrow night, from 7 to 10. Featured artists include Georgia Kennedy, Quinn Welsh, Milan Young, Stephen Fredette. That's Stephen Fredette from Scruffy the Cat. Bill Fries, great supporter of the show. Love you, Bill. Alvin Long, Michael Crockett, Duncan Wilder Johnson, and yours truly. So New Alliance is located 480 Somerville Avenue near Union Square. I have about 20 pieces of Twisted Rico art up. It would be great to see you there. So come on down. Also, another announcement for a show. Sunday, March 24th, there's a great show at Sonia in Central Square, Cambridge, happening from 1 to 6. This one is a tribute to our friend Dean Jackson, who passed away unexpectedly, sadly. And a lot of bands are stepping up for this one. We've got Gangrene, the FUs, Tree, Richie's Kids, which is a combo of members of Jerry's Kids and Unnatural Acts, led obviously by Richie Parsons. That's going to be really good. Barroom Heroes, Gusto, Spectacle. That's right. Paul Fox from Spectacle's band, TJ Welsh and the Wasted, and special guest, and who knows what's going to happen here, Springer from SSD Control is going to be there. This is one for the ages, and it's also an all-ages show. And it's all for you, Dean Jackson. I know you're up there listening somewhere. Again, I hope to see you guys there. I'll be there for that as well all day, and I'm very excited about that. I was very excited when I first heard the band Spiller. If you like all-star bands, this one has you covered. Glenn Stilfen, who played with Gangrene during their incredible Another Wasted Night era on bass. Greg Fiore from the band Underdog does most of the heavy singing, guitar playing. Jack Clark, one of the cool ones, on drums. Jack from Jerry's Kids and a bunch of other bands. And also our guest today, Chris Pearson, who, like I mentioned earlier, made a name for himself in the band Green Magnet School. Chris and I are both alumni of WDJM in Framingham, Mass. He arrived there about a year after I left, and we got to know each other later. But we have a great talk. We talk about that, talk about a lot of stuff, but mostly Spiller. All right, so here I am with Chris Pearson. Enjoy. Welcome to those of you watching on YouTube. This is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. If you want to hear this entire show with intros, outros, and music, please go to Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, or wherever else you watch or listen to podcasts. Please welcome to the show, Chris Pearce.
Hey there.
How you doing?
Not too bad. I think this is the first podcast I've ever done.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm honored. I'm honored. I think, have we seen each other since Pittsburgh? Because I couldn't remember.
I don't think so.
So the last time we saw each other was 2018.
Yeah. Wow. Something like that. No, it was way before then. What, Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Anyways, that was probably like 2012 or something like that.
I was there from 2013 to 2019. So
okay, maybe 2015, somewhere around there.
Maybe. I do remember we had fun though.
Yeah. Went to Permanti's.
Where else do you go in Pittsburgh, right? I want to talk to you about Spiller, but I want to go back first.
Yeah.
A little ways back. You guys have a fantastic new EP. The only thing I'm confused about is it says 4-song EP and I got 5 songs. I don't know if I got a bonus track or what, but
If you read the fine print on our Bandcamp page, it says full download comes with a bonus track.
I guess I didn't read the fine print. But you will
always
you
folks, read the fine print, Steve.
Yeah, you folks out there listening, though, it's really good EP, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. Now, I know you went to Framingham State, and we have a lot of mutual friends from that era. Yeah. And of course, we're both alumni of WDJM, which we'll talk about in a minute.
But and we were both music directors.
Wow. Yes, we were. That's right. And we are going to talk about that. But I want to know where you grew up and when you started listening to music, and if you remember what you first started listening to when you, you know, got into music.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up on the Cape. I grew up in Harwich.
You did?
Yeah.
Well, that's funny because I had Cliffhanger from The Freeze on, and we were talking about guys from the Cape, man. He didn't mention you, though. I didn't know
well,
you.
Well, he's going to shoehorn nicely into a story I'm going to tell you about about listening to music and growing up on the Cape. You know, I was into, like, Queen and Boston and stuff like that. And then I started kind of hearing things. And I, you know, watching shows like Night Flight on cable, you know, and I'm like, what is this other stuff that's going on? And I remember getting into the Police, and I was like, oh, this band's really good. And so here's the cliffhanger story. He used to work at a record store in Hyannis called Baskerville's that was in the old Kmart Plaza off of Route 132. Anyway, I went in there one day to get the second Police album, Regatta du Bont, which had just come out. And he was working behind the counter. I didn't really know him. I kind of knew of him, but I didn't put two and two together that he was in the Freeze or anything at that point. And I put the record on the counter, the Police record, and he put it behind the counter and then handed me the first Ramones record. And he says, no, you want to get this.
Come on. Wow.
And that just kind of blew my head open. I did wind up getting the Police record also. But yeah, he turned me on. He got me. He told me to buy the first Ramones record. And pretty much from there, it was all downhill.
What year would you say that was?
Oh, God, that was probably, well, what year did Regatta du Blanc come out? Probably, yes. I'm going to say 79, probably.
Wow.
79, something like that.
So the Freeze just might have, wasn't even really a band. They were just getting started, maybe?
And then I realized who he was, because then they went and put out that single they had, I Hate Taurus.
Yeah.
Which was like an anthem to us Cape kids.
Oh, I'm sure it was. And you mentioned Boston too. I mean, you got Boston and the Freeze.
Right. Yeah. So it's kind of a funny, you know, like closed circle, you know what I mean? It's like, and then I actually, many years later, I saw him at a Replacement show, and he didn't really, I don't think he knew who I was, but I went up to him and I said, hey man, I just want to say thank you for warping my mind, like, you know, early on. And I told him the story. He had completely forgotten, but he had a good laugh.
Now, did he know about Green Magnet School at that point?
No, I see, that's what I mean. I don't think he knew I was
who
in
you were.
Green Magnet School. Yeah, but then again, you know, while the Replacements were still around, that was still kind of early days for GMS.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. What made you interested in the Police? Was it Sting? Was it the?
No, I think I saw them on Night Flight again. Like, you know, I think I saw a video that might have been taken from like Erga Music War or something like that. That compilation, and you know, and it's funny because I'll be honest, I don't think that band has aged well. Like, I listened back to them, and I'm like, anyways.
I got to meet Sting because I worked at A&M. So I worked on 10 Summoner's Tales and the record after that. I never was really that huge of a Police fan, you know? I mean, I like the
Right.
first couple of records, but, you know, Next to You, I actually like Juliana Hatfield's version of the Police songs better than the Police songs. I don't know if you heard her record. She did
No,
a
I
whole
haven't.
record of Police covers. It's really good.
Oh, really?
Check
I
it out.
actually used to live beneath her in Inman Square for a year.
You didn't live in the buildings next to the S&S Deli, did you?
I did for a brief period of time.
Wow, I
Yeah.
had my
Yeah.
ex-girlfriend lived in the front building, and I used to see, I ran into Evan there all the time. That was around 98, 99 when I was spending a lot of time there. But I saw Juliana all the time, walking her dog and hanging out. And
Right.
Evan hung out there, and I knew Evan from
Yeah.
years before that. Well, that
Right.
building's Those two buildings are famous. A lot of bands have lived in those buildings. People in bands. Those two.
Right.
I didn't
Right.
realize you lived there, man. I was just
Just
at
briefly.
the S&S the other day, actually. I love that place, man.
They have great knishes.
When Sylvain came up here and played at the Abbey Lounge, it was like a famous show that he played. I went out to dinner with him at the. Is there any good places to eat around here? I'm like, I think you might like the S&S Deli, you know. And he did. He loved it. And we went in there and hung out in the S&S. So how young were you, would you say, when you started getting into the Police and all that? Were you still
Well, then, like after the Police, like then I started listening to Devo, and then the floodgates opened. I actually, you know, it's funny. I say I Hate Tourists was an anthem for Cape kids, and yet tourist kids that would visit in the summer would like turn me on to music I hadn't heard. Do you know what I mean? And a friend of mine that lived in Worcester and his family summered on the Cape, he was a huge Buzzcocks fan, and he turned me on to the Buzzcocks. And like that just opened the floodgates. Do you know what I mean? And then I started getting into like the Dead Kennedys and like all that stuff, you know? And it just, yeah. So I was probably, when I started getting into that kind of stuff, I'm gonna say I was about 13 or 14, something like that. And
That's young.
yeah. And then I started playing guitar when I was about 14 because, you know, it was that time of your life, you know, you're a teenage boy and you're like, for in my case, you know, I'm a cis white male. I was interested in girls, you know, and I was bad at sports. And I'm like, how can I get girls to like me? I know, I'll play guitar.
So did you have bands out there in the Cape?
yeah, well, I mean, I formed a band. Well, we formed a band, me and some friends. The first band I was ever in. Which was in junior high school, was a band called The Addams. That was the first band I was ever in. And we did like, of course, we did like Police covers, Devo covers. I think we played a couple of Cars songs, you know what I mean? And you know, that's really when the music bug bit me. So and then later I like in my high school years, like junior and senior year, I was in a band called Off Balance. With a really good friend of mine, Colin Stevenson. And again, you know, I mean, and you know, doing a lot of covers, you know, again, like Devo, I think we covered The Clash, the Dead Kennedys, but we wrote our own songs about our, you know, being hard put upon bag boys at Angelo's supermarket in
I was
Harwichport.
going to ask you when you started writing. Did you start writing at a young age,
Yeah,
or
probably about 15 or 16.
wow, that's
Yeah.
great, man.
Yeah.
So, did it take a while for you to get any? Did you play gigs out there? Were you doing a lot of gigs?
No, just like those bands in high school, that was just like parties and stuff.
Garage band, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and then when I went to college at Framingham State, I fell in with a couple of guys there, and we started a band called Billy Seven. And you know, we played it, I don't know if you remember the Sandbox at Framingham State.
I
Yeah,
do.
we played at Sandbox, and that's where I actually met Greg Fiore from Underball. Was he lived in Arlington, but I think he might have answered an ad or something like that. And he started playing guitar with us, and that's how I met him. And actually, Rob Hamilton was in that band, who eventually became the drummer for Green Magnet School. So it's like, it's an incestuous little puddle.
What year did you go to Framingham? When did you decide to go to Framingham? When did you start going to school there?
I was 84, and I graduated in 88.
So you got there right after I left. I knew it was close because I know we when you got there, did you know about the radio station WDJM?
I did a campus tour before I went there, and that was the first place I went to. And I met a bunch of freaky people that I was like, this is my place.
So
These are my
who did
people.
you meet? Because I must know some of these people.
Oh God. I think I met Rob Tim and like a couple of David Seibel. Anyways, just a bunch of those characters, you know?
Was
And I was
Steve
like,
Peck and Jennifer Whitman and those guys still there? Yeah, they had to be, yeah.
I like as soon as I started going to school there, I basically like instantly signed up for the radio station, you know? And that was also a huge influence on me, like being exposed to stuff I had never heard before. I think that's when I started getting into like Nick Cave and the Birthday Party and stuff like that, you know.
I got there in 81. I had already gone to a community college. I got there as a junior, and I'll never forget walking into the back room, which, by the way, I went down to Framingham State about a year ago,
Oh
and
yeah,
that
it's gone,
whole
right?
everything, well, there's a radio station, but all those records and everything were all gone. There was so
Right.
many. That was a huge library of records,
Yeah.
and I used to go in there. My routine was, go to classes maybe. Well, I was
Yeah.
at media, so I'd like to go, but then I'd, get high and go and just a start at the A's and just work your way through the entire collection,
Right.
pull out, and I discovered so many bands. Plus, the other people that were there, a lot of them were still there when you got there, and we were really into it, man. And
Yeah.
I think DJM continued for a while after that, while you were there at least. Now, what's interesting to me
Yeah.
is that when I was there, we were all the people that I went to school with, several of them went into radio. I went to work for a record company, but we didn't have anyone in any bands hanging out with us. I mean, there were people that
Right.
played, but there weren't. But then you got there, and I think Black Helicopter's a Framingham State band too, right?
Black Helicopter is what happened. Basically, Green Magnet School more or less broke up, but then mutated into Black Helicopter. So that,
Yes.
so yeah, but yeah, yeah, a few of those guys worked at DJM.
Yeah, that's cool. So all these bands all of a sudden started coming. I missed it. I was in California and I didn't get to see that, but I kept in touch with the station and sent, got some bands up there still, because I'd worked with some Boston bands. So did you go there for 4 years? Did what we what were you to what were you taking there? Like what
Oh,
were
I was a media major.
you were in media also? Yeah. Yeah, that's a decent media department over there.
That's kind of why I picked Framingham State, because it seemed like I had heard really good things about their media department, and that's, it's what I wanted to get into. So, yeah.
Now, you said you started playing in bands at Framingham State. Which bands was there a
So,
band?
yeah, that was that band Billy Seven.
Billy Seven. Because Green Magnet School was after you left Framingham
Yes,
State.
pretty
I
much,
thought
pretty
so.
much.
Okay, this is a really popular band. I mean, you got signed to Sub Pop, you played Lollapalooza, CMJ, I think you guys played
Oh,
the CMJ
yeah, we used to play
convention,
all those
played a
things.
ton of shows. You guys had a really good run. Three albums between 91 and 95.
We put so the first album came out on Sub Pop, and then we put out an EP on this local label, Sonic Bubblegum. And then the last album that came out actually after I had left the band was also on this local label, Sonic Bubblegum. So really, the Sub Pop, the first album, and a couple of singles were really the only things we did on Sub Pop, because what kind of happened, and I don't mean to kind of badmouth Sub Pop, I mean they were really decent folks and all, but they were getting this Nirvana money coming in, you know, and I think they started getting a taste for like, oh, we want more of this, you know. And I remember we had recorded 8-track demos of what was going to be our second album, and this was back in the day, we overnighted them by a FedEx on a digital audio tape, and they had a listen. And I remember I was actually, at the time, I was working at Newbury Comics, another incestuous cesspool of musicians, yes, in Boston. Yes. And Jonathan Poneman from Sub Pop called me at work at Newbury Comics. He's like, yeah, I'm a little concerned. I don't hear too many radio friendly things on
what
this. And we were like, And I'm telling you, it was the Nirvana thing, you know. Wow. Like, I think they wanted to, yeah. So, anyways,
I thought you guys just got lost in the shuffle, because that was the time where all of a sudden just Seattle just exploded, and they had all those bands, and all there was a time where a lot of people wanted to go to be on Sub Pop, you know. And I figured,
right,
didn't spend enough time with you guys.
I think, yeah, I mean, there might have been some of that as well, but we actually started getting cold feet when they seemed to be kind of pressing us to write, you know, radio friendly songs, you know. And if anything, I feel like we were getting more experimental, you know, rather than more poppy, and so that probably didn't jive with their business plan or whatever.
It's just bad timing, because a good band and a good label, you figured it would work, but maybe it should have been like SST or something like that, you know. But you know,
right, yeah.
But you guys still were really popular, especially in Boston. When you went on Lollapalooza, did you do a lot of Lollapalooza dates?
No, we just did the one in Boston.
Seriously. You played locally. Okay, yeah, cool. Was that good?
No, it was like the second stage. You know what I mean? It was like they had a side stage. I think it was the first year they actually did that.
Yeah, I was going to say 91 and 92, the first few were great. So were you in the second year was Pearl Jam and Soundgarden. Were you on that one, or were you on the one before that?
The one, I feel like we were on the one that Ice Cube played.
That was the one, yeah. Henry Rollins, Ministry.
Yeah, I mean, my memory is fuzzy, but I just, for some reason, I mostly remember Ice Cube, because I was into his solo album, really. And after he had spun off from NWA, I really liked his solo record, and I was like, I was kind of in awe. I'm like, wow, we're playing on the same thing as Ice Cube.
That's really funny. Who cares if Soundgarden and Pearl Jam were there? Well, I get the first two, I start jumbling them together, Jane's, and it was just, they were
right.
Good. Lollapalooza was definitely one of my favorite, you know, kind of those festival kind of tours that were happening back then. The Warped Tour was good for a little while, but then, I don't know. And I got stuck on the Horde Tour too. Because Blues really? Traveler was an A&M band, so I had to go to a bunch of those. So so you actually left Green Magnet School before the band ended. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I left in 1994. Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. For, shall we say, personal health reasons.
Yeah, I didn't know if we were going to talk about that or not, but it's kind of pretty well documented, you know, not in like most of these horror stories from those days are, you know?
Right. And I basically stopped doing music altogether, kind of dropped out for a few years. And then around 2001, I started getting my shit together. And that's when I started kind of getting back, kind of dipping my toe in tentatively to the, you know, the music scene again. And
any bands in that period?
No, I was doing this kind of weird one-off kind of electronic, it was like I had a laptop with, you know, I was using drum samples and I was making my own samples and stuff. And I did have a keyboard, I had a synthesizer, but I was still playing guitar, but I wasn't singing at all. It was all instrumental because around this time I was really influenced by bands like Mogwai and Godspeed You Black Emperor. That whole like post rock thing, you know, I was
Yeah.
really, really getting into. And that was kind of, I was trying to do my own take on that, but it was a little more electronic. And that none of that stuff has really seen the light of day, but I called it Akranoplan. That was the name of it, which is named after a Soviet surface effect vehicle, like a thing that flies right above the water. Anyways.
They'll probably be flying over here in about 2025, I think. You know,
Yeah,
I
yeah, to
hope
pick up
not.
their pal.
I hope not. So before we close the book on Green Magnet School, I know the band reunited in 2014. Was it Pipeline
Yeah, it was
Anniversary?
for that Bob Dubrow put together that Pipeline 25th anniversary thing, and he asked us to play, and we kind of reached out to everybody, and we were like, you know, would you be into doing this? And yeah, we did it.
Was it
And it was
fun?
a yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was a blast. And I feel like maybe any bad blood that had been left over kind of became water under the bridge. You know what
It
I
usually
mean?
happens. Time
Which
heals
was
all
nice.
wounds.
Which
Yeah.
was nice. Yeah.
You know what I didn't mention? I know you guys were pretty tight with Billy Ruane, right?
Yeah, yeah,
Yeah. Yeah, me
yeah.
too. I got to know him a lot later than that. Because I was not living here, I was living in California. But when I came back, he was a great guy. I know he was a big fan of yours. You guys have a
Yeah,
lot
Billy
of
helped us a tremendous amount. Yeah.
Green Magnet
Being
School is a really popular band. I mean, a lot of people thought you guys were like, because you guys were really, you had the noise, but you also had a little bit of like, you had the song Windshield. You know, there were some
Yeah.
songs in there that were really cool. But it's cool. Well, I just wanted to go through all that because I don't want to just ignore that.
No, I appreciate that. And I will say, in kind of the interim, like, so before I wound up doing the Spiller thing, for a brief period of time, back about, this is now about maybe 8 years ago, I actually was playing with a band called Magic Shop. And I was basically a hired gun. And, you know, I was like a second guitarist. And, you know, I thought the songs were good and stuff. If a bit derivative of bands like Brian Jonestown Massacre and Spaceman 3. But unfortunately, the guy that was the kind of the leader of the band turned out to be an absolute douchebag. So that kind of, you know,
It's always to get
fell.
that. It's always good to get that kind of info out there when you're doing a podcast. Since this is your first podcast, I'll just let you know
Well,
that's
I
good.
won't name names, but people will know probably who I'm talking about, I'm sure.
Probably. You know, if the other guys were here, I would have talked about Chuck's. Okay, I'm gonna, you know, Chuck Stilfen, Gangrene, of course, Smegma and the Nuns before Gangrene.
Glenn Stilpen, Chuck's his
Glenn, I'm
brother.
sorry, Glenn. Bass player Glenn. Sorry, Glenn. Glenn's been on the show, but you know, I know Chuck and Glenn slept at my house in California when they broke Gangrene. So I've known those guys for a while. And then he had Northern Skulls going. And Greg, of course, came from Underball and Red Ball Jets. Was that another band that he was?
That was a brief thing he did, and I don't know how far he got with that, but I believe one of the songs Spiller is doing actually might have been a Red Ball Jet song, but don't quote me on that. And if I get this wrong and Greg sees this, he's gonna give me a hard time.
We
No.
can't remember everything, Greg.
And then he actually did a couple of like one-off shows. Greg was playing with Stranglehold. I know for a while too, I think he was playing with Facts About Rats, you
Wow, I
know. So
didn't know he was with Stranglehold. Wow, that's interesting.
just for like some of those reunion shows, I think.
Interesting because Jack is tight. What's well meant who we're going to talk about next, Jack Clark. You know, he was in the band Lovely, you know, with the singer from Stranglehold. And J Jack, of course, playing Jerry's Kids too, and a bunch of other bands. And Jack's going to be joining us soon, isn't he?
Yeah, as soon as the interview ends.
But I mean, if people are out there wondering what the hell is he talking about, when I had Lovely on my show, Jack showed up to the interview. It was when we were doing our we were taping at New Alliance, and he showed up when we were done. So we let him come in and got on the microphone, and all he says in the whole podcast is, "Sorry, I missed it, Rico." That was Jack, who by the way is a phenomenal drummer.
Oh, he's amazing.
The first thing I thought of, no offense, nothing personal against you and Greg. The first thing I thought of when I heard about this band, I was like, what a rhythm section. That was the first thing that popped right out off the page,
Right.
With Glenn and Jack. So tell us how this all happened, the band. Like, how did you guys meet and form? And did you know? I know you and Greg went to school together, you said, at Framingham.
No, he had played in that band, Billy Seven. He wasn't a Framingham State guy, but he was in that band, Billy Seven, that I was in when I was at Framingham State. But yeah, the whole Spiller thing, I guess Greg had reached out to Jack, and he was like, hey, do you want to, mess around and just do some stuff, just to play? And Jack was into it. And then Glenn got involved, and I think they were doing that for at least a couple months. And I guess they were practicing one day, and they were talking about getting a second guitarist. And Glenn had mentioned a guy from the previous band. He was in Northern Skulls, but I guess that guy didn't have a lot of time on his hands at the moment.
Well, I can't remember who the guitar player was.
Oh, yeah, I know. I feel bad. Glenn told me, and I can't remember his name, but then Greg, apparently at this same practice, Greg was like, hey, what about Chris Pearson? And they were like, oh my God, that'd be really cool. And literally, apparently that day, Greg got home from their practice and he sent me a message and he said, hey, what are you doing next week? Would you want to, I'm kind of doing this thing with, Jack and Glenn and, would you want to come down and just mess around and see what happens? And that was it. It was like, it really clicked. I went to the first practice, just it was like, wow, this
when
is cool.
Was this like, this is post 2020 obviously, right?
Yeah, this was literally February of last year, so that was February of 2023.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so it was pretty recent. Yeah.
And so you went down and played with them. Did you hit it off with them right away?
Yeah, absolutely. I had never played with Jack before, and I was like, I was kind of in awe. Like, I was like, holy shit, this guy is sick. And he, on top of that, like, he's just the sweetest guy you could ever meet. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just
he's a great
sweetheart
guy.
Of a guy.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I joke with my girlfriend that whenever I practice with Jack, like with Jack playing drums, I'm getting my cardio workout for the week.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned this to you on the phone or message or whatever. I was there at the Hardcore Reunion show in 2011, and Jack played with Jerry's Kids and DYS at that show. Geez. And he was really good, man. He ripped it up. He's a great drummer. And first, if you're going to play with Jerry's Kids, you're going to have to be real good to begin with, because that's one fast, tight band right there,
Yeah, absolutely.
So did they already have songs together when you got there?
Yeah, Greg. So Greg's a great songwriter, and he had a few songs. We still do. We do an old Underball song, but it was like that. We did a couple covers, and then Greg was kind of in the process of writing a couple of things, which have now, seen the light of day on the EP. And so, I mean, they had a couple of songs. Like, now we have more than we did at the beginning. But it was like, it was just kind of a really loose, let's have fun. And we didn't have any designs on really, It's not like, oh, we're gonna get signed to A&M Records. And no, it's just like, hey, let's do this. And if we maybe play gigs here and there, or whatever, let's have fun. And yeah, and then we decided, it's like, hey, why don't we just record some stuff? And
I'm going to ask you about that in a second, but I remember I found out about the band from you before you were playing a show, and I heard about it too late. Denstock. You did that
oh
last
yeah.
summer, right?
Yeah, Dennis White. Yeah. Yeah.
So did you have you done any other gigs since that one?
Yeah. Oh yeah. We've after Denstock, we actually played the Midway in December. And Black Helicopter played with us.
Oh, wow.
And so because Tim was there, we decided to do we pulled out Windshield to do a cover of Windshield. And Tim got up and played guitar. He got up on stage and played guitar with us, and that was a lot of fun.
Nice,
So it was like
nice.
a little mini reunion. And then that was yeah, we played with Justine and the Unclean, very unfortunately, literally a week
Yeah.
before she passed away.
Oh.
Yeah, we played that place Spaces, which is actually a really great room. Have you been there in Malden?
I've been hearing about it. I have not been there yet.
Yeah, no, it's a great place.
That's what I'm hearing. That's what I hear.
And
Definitely.
then and as of now, we have two, no, three shows booked for this year so far. We are actually playing we're playing at Kodo in Salem.
Yeah, good rum, good
I haven't been there. I've heard great
sushis.
things. Yeah, I know. I can't. As soon as I heard we were playing there, it's almost like I don't care about the music. I just want to eat some
It's a really weird
sushi.
place because you walk in and it's like a regular Japanese restaurant, but then there's a
Right.
stage, right?
Yeah,
Like, because
that's
I
what I
ate
heard.
there before I saw shows there, because
Right.
Richard Marz, who's a good friend of mine, Galaxy Park Studios, he's up there
Okay.
in Salem. So I've gone up there to see him a lot. And a few times, a bunch of us got together and went over to Kodo. And that, I heard they're opening a new location now in Lowell.
I mean, I know they do like metal and punk shows all the time. And
Popular
like I was like, a
place.
sushi restaurant? But
Hey,
hey,
people, bands
what?
love it. Bands love it, and it's and people show up, and Salem's definitely happening. It's
But that's gonna be fun. We're kind of, I mean, it is and it isn't kind of gonna be our EP release party, as it were, quote unquote. But we're playing with the Long Wait. Who are another kind of newish band with,
I'm
Daryl
going to that
Shepherd
show.
and
You're on that show? Oh,
yeah,
I'm
we're
going. I already told those guys that I'm friends with all those guys. I told Steven Ristine that I was going to go there, stay at Richard's house, and go to your sh I didn't
oh, okay.
realize you're
Well,
on the
we'll see you
bill.
then. Yeah,
Wow.
we're playing that show.
They're like one
Yeah.
of my favorite
And then
bands right now.
we're playing June 1st at Tavern at the End of the World in Plymouth with the Why Knots. And I should keep this somewhat quiet, but I will just say in October of this year, we're going to be opening for the Moving Targets.
Ooh, another one of
So
my favorite bands, Kenny Chambers.
yeah, but that's a bit down the road.
Well, those are good gigs. I've seen The Long Wait twice, and I think they're the best band around right now. I'm kind of partial to those guys because Jamie Sciarrapa and Mark
Right.
McKay. They're good.
Yeah.
Daryl Shepherd. I mean, talk
Well,
about an
yeah. Well,
all-star
and it's funny
band.
because I'm actually friends with Daryl and Mark through Newbury Comics, working at Newbury Comics. And I haven't seen them yet, so I'm really excited to see those guys playing in a band together. It'll be a lot of fun.
Did you work at the Newbury Street store?
I worked in the warehouse.
Oh, the warehouse. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I got around a bit. Like I knew people in the stores because I would do deliveries and stuff, and I got to know a lot, not just people in the warehouse, but people that worked in the stores and blah blah blah, and yeah, again, another incestuous little like it's like
Richie
who didn't
Parsons.
work in Newbury
So I
Comics?
always,
Yeah.
whenever I think of Newbury, I always think of Richie Parsons because
Yeah.
he was there for like 25 years,
Right. Yeah. He was like one of the lifers.
Yeah, I went down the
Amazing.
Bra his Braintree store with a few bands. I'd bring bands when I worked for labels down there, because I knew he was a big fan and everything. All right, here's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah.
You guys worked with some of the best guys around. I mean, I spent a lot of time raving about Benny Grotto and Carl.
He's Carl amazing.
And Carl Plaster and Tim O'Hare. How in the world did you guys work with those three guys? That's really cool. I want to hear about that because these are
okay. So that was actually Greg's idea to get. I mean, we knew we were going to record at Mad Oak. Glenn had reached out to Benny Grotto and we booked that. And then Greg, he was like, what if I reached out to Carl Plaster and Tim O'Hare? And Tim's in Texas now. He lives in like Dallas or something. And Carl got involved. He basically set up all the drum sounds.
That's his thing, man. That's his thing.
He is the master. He is the master.
Him and Jack together. And that must have been pretty cool.
I know. Yeah. And then Tim signed on. He's like, yeah, I'll mix the stuff, you know? So it was kind of like Greg's charisma and charm got Carl and Tim to shake off the cobwebs, as it were, and kind of work on this with us, which we are so grateful for, because those guys and Benny, I mean, Benny was amazing. Like, I've worked with Sean Slade, you know, all kinds of people, and I just thought Benny was tremendous.
To me, he's like, you know, him and Alec Rodriguez, those guys are like so good, you know, they're so good.
Yeah.
I just had Carissa Johnson, by the time this comes out, the show will be out. And Carissa and Benny have been doing a lot of stuff together, and the stuff they're doing. So he's versatile, you know. He can do heavy,
yeah,
and then he can do pop, you know, and everything in between.
Right. So I hadn't even known that he played drums in Slapshot for a little bit. I was like, what?
He's a good drummer. Definitely.
Yeah, I haven't heard him play drums, but yeah, I mean, the guy, you know. And then so on top of Benny, who is like the consummate professional and knows obviously what he's doing, to get Carl and Tim involved in it was just the icing on the cake, you know. And again, that was Greg. Greg reached out to those guys, knowing them from his past and, you know, Underball. And I knew them from where, you know, Green Magnet School stuff. And it was like, it just kind of came together and worked out, you know?
Yeah. You guys did a great job, man. I love
that. Oh, thanks.
I love the 4-song EP with the extra song. Don't tell me. And I saw the Sparkler video, watched it a couple of times. You shot that in Alston, right?
Yeah. A good friend of Glenn's, Sean McCauley, he helped put that together for, well, I mean, he basically, you know, did it more or less. We basically, it was like shots in Alston, kind of like old school vibe. And then just recorded in our, the place where we rehearse, you know? And I liked it. That's actually, that song is kind of, it's about, and I guess you could say dedicated to Justine from Justine and the Unclean. Yeah. Yeah. It's written about her. Greg wrote it about her after she passed.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. It's a nice black and white video too. I wanted to mention that. I liked black and white. It was black and white, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We didn't, you know, no bells or whistles with us. We're no frills dad punk.
Well, you know, this is kind of an all-star band we have here. So, you know, in the highest regard, you know. So you mentioned all the shows you got going on. And do you guys get together a lot and rehearse a lot?
No, we rehearse once a week on Sunday. We're terrible sinners. Instead of going to church, we play punk rock music. We rehearse every Sunday, usually around noon to three, somewhere in that vicinity. And
where's the space at? Where's the space where you play at?
It's in Waltham. We kind of lucked out. I think Glenn knew a guy. I wish he was here because he could say, like, This guy has like a recording studio, but he didn't use it all the time, and he was looking into having bands, kind of renting it out for bands to practice. And I think, as far as I know, we were one of the first bands to kind of bite on that. And it's been a great arrangement. I mean, we basically pay hourly by the week, but he kind of knows by now our regular slot is,
Yeah.
Sunday early afternoon. So
That's awesome, man.
we practice once a week, and that's it. I mean, we're such pros, Steve, that we only need to practice once a week.
I imagine some of those guys are in playing in other bands too, I mean, Jack is probably playing with someone else, right?
Oh yeah, Jack plays. He plays with Richie a lot, and
Yeah,
I know.
they're doing the Richie's Kids show. Did
Yeah,
you hear about that?
it's yeah, yeah.
Are you
I think
going?
that's next week. I'm gonna try. I'm gonna try.
I'll be there because
Okay.
I knew Dean Jackson, who passed away. That's what it
Oh,
is. It's kind of a tribute show for
right.
Dean
Benefit,
rather.
yeah.
And I
Yeah.
met him through Gangrene and Curtis, and Chris is going to be there too, Chris Doherty. And then there's a when I saw all the people that are playing, I was like, whoa, it's going to be
Right.
about 5 great hours of punk rock for sure.
Right.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about what you're listening to. I imagine that you're a I'm gonna say I think you're probably a record guy like me. You listen to vinyl, right?
I have a confession to make. And I'll say this quietly. Help, I'm being held captive in a house where if I listen to anything other than vinyl, I get locked in the basement for hours at a time. Yes, I pretty much only exclusively listen to vinyl. I will admit, when my girlfriend is not home, I sometimes will pull out a CD or something. I recently got a cassette player again after many years of not having one. And I gotta say, that's been one of the funnest things. Like, I've been making
Yeah.
mixtapes again and stuff. But I'm a big vinyl guy, big
I
time.
got this
Yeah.
little contraption. You plug it into your my MacBook. I don't know what it's called. It's not around here right now, but I take, you can burn cassette, take your old cassettes and turn them to digital. And I've got so
Right.
many.
Right.
You wouldn't believe how many cassettes I have. I was cassette crazy, but I'm a big vinyl guy. That's why I asked about that. But I have a CD player too. I listen to everything. I found this old boom box that has like one of those 8 CD things. So I load up 8 CDs when I'm in one room and listen to CDs. When I go in the other room, I listen to vinyl. Then, I have my little box. I listen to, Spotify or whatever on that, So I'm like,
Right.
so have you been buying any music lately? I mean, what are you listening to?
Yeah. Honestly, and in light of what today is, I will mention there's quite a few younger, newish, contemporary Irish bands that I really like.
It's St. Patrick's Day, people, if you're wondering what he means by that. It's St. Patrick's Day. Because we're
I got
both
my
Irish, right? Well, I'm
green,
not Irish, but
green.
you're Irish?
Yes, Ricardo. Ricardo is such an Irish name.
I'm from Belfast. What do you mean, man? Not
Yeah.
from Belfast.
But like bands like Fontaines DC, Gillaband, Silverbacks, Murder Capital, and what's that band? Pillow Queens. There's
Wow.
some great stuff. I don't know what they're putting in the water in Dublin right now, but there's some great stuff coming out of there. But yeah, like a lot of that stuff. I mean, again, my traditional go-tos are like I love Mogwai, the band Mogwai. Love those guys. I'm a huge rest in peace, dear sir. I'm a huge Fall fan. Love the Fall.
Yeah, good one.
But like, yeah, recent stuff. Trying to think. Like, other than a lot of that Irish stuff, and some of these new bands coming out, like Dry Cleaning and Idols, there's some there's it's like people are like, oh, rock and roll is dead. I'm like, eh, you're not looking hard enough.
I
You know what
think
I
since
mean?
the pandemic, there's been a real upswing you know, with releases. And I'm on Bandcamp a lot, so I find a lot of bands on there, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I'm talking to people every week. I always ask everyone what they're listening to. So you mentioned a few bands, and I don't know them. So now I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to be like, okay, I got to find out who these bands are that Chris is like. I know Idols and, you know, but some of the other bands you mentioned, the Irish bands, I never heard of them. But that's great.
Definitely check them out. You will be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I mean, do you listen to old vinyl too, or are you just looking for newer things to listen
to? No. I listen to old stuff all the time. Yeah. It depends on the mood. I could go from Devo to Motorhead to the Angry Samoans. Again, Mogwai, Godspeed You Black Emperor. I still do like that post-rock stuff. One thing I've been happy about recently is they've been doing those Come reissues, who to me, Come were like one of the best bands that ever came out of Boston. I like that they've been re-releasing that stuff on vinyl.
Talking to a huge Talia Zedek fan over here.
Oh, she, I really hope people in Boston appreciate what a treasure she is.
Oh, they do. They do. Like, you know, I was a Dangerous Birds fan, you know, when I was in DJM, we were like going to see all their shows. I mean, I went to see them mostly at Storyville. They played at, I don't know if you remember Storyville and Kenmore Square, but went there a lot to see. And then Talia, you know, all her bands after that to Uzi.
That's what I was gonna say. Unfortunately, Dangerous Birds were a little before my time, like I was still in high school, and to drive up from the Cape to Boston could be an ordeal. So I never saw Dangerous Birds, but I did see Uzi, and so I'm really happy about that. And then of course I always liked Live Skull before Talia was even in the band. So when she joined Live Skull, I was like, oh my God, this is great. And then, and then that kind of finished. But when Come came out, I was just like blown away. And I was in on the ground floor with those guys because I actually worked in the warehouse with Arthur, the drummer, who was a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I remember when he's like, oh yeah, and, like, the first rehearsal he was going, he's like, yeah, I'm playing with Talia Zedek and Chris Brokaw. We're, you know, seeing what happens. And so I was literally there when like Come was forming, you know, Arthur would be talking about going to these practices. And I actually saw their first show at the Middle East.
Wow.
And I was like, these guys are so good, you know? And anyways, so.
I saw them in LA a few times.
Oh, really?
I love The Fighting Season, which is Talia's solo record from 2019, I think.
Yeah.
It completely took me by surprise, man. Because she's got other solo records that are way more popular. But when I heard that, I was like, wow. It's
fantastic. You heard that band? Have you heard her band E?
Yes.
Have you heard E?
Yeah.
They blow my mind. It's like the guys from Neptune is it Karate? I can't remember.
I think she's probably, as far as, she's way up on the Boston rock thing, you know, because she's like done so much, you know, as far as underground independent music goes, you know, Talia Zedek's unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
She's got such a catalog, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I love her. You nailed it with that one with me for sure. I absolutely love her. Hey, Chris, thank you, man.
Hey. Thank you, Steve. It's good to see you, brother.
And I can't wait to see Spiller, man. You guys sound great. I can't wait to see it live.
Thanks so much. That means a lot. And I guess if you go into the Kodo show, we'll see you there.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one, man, for sure.
Cool.
All right, dude. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
God save the queens. I mean the guys that dress up like girls. God save the queens. I mean the guys that just mess up like girls. God save the queens. They're not hurting anyone. God save the queens. God save the queens.
All right. God Save the Queens by Spiller. You know, there's so many things that you talk about or you want to talk about. And we didn't mention, I didn't mention that song in the interview with Chris. And I don't know why, because I love the song. I think it's great. One of my favorite songs on that EP. It's a 5-song EP with an extra track, as you found out, a bonus track. And it's up on Bandcamp. So please, Spiller, get it on Bandcamp. I'm going to go see them, actually, hopefully. They're playing with the Long Wait. Talk about getting all the all-stars in the building at the same time. They've definitely succeeded. That's going to be in Salem at Kodo, which is you can get Japanese food, some good sushi, and then you can stick around and watch the punk rock. That's in April. I don't have the date in front of me, but I'll get it to you. I'll post it or something. But once again, it's Spiller with the Long Wait and a few other bands. All right. That was a lot of fun talking to Chris. Chris is a cool dude, and I can't believe it. I'm going to mention it again. This is the 299th show. Number 300's coming out next week. And on the show, you know, it's like you're going to do something really a big surprise or something special for your 300th show. For me, it was special, very special. I got my good friend Tom Wilson back on and Chris Conway from Gypsy Moss and Herb Morsiglio from Dorchester, Dorchester's own. I think there's a couple of Dorchester guys there, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, we just hung around and talked. Yeah, Chris is from Dorchester too, I hope. We had a great talk, so I suggest you tune into that episode number 300. Very excited about it. And we recorded it like 3 weeks ago, but, you know, it's current. It'll sound current. All right, please write to me anytime at twistedrico@gmail.com. If you're a musician or songwriter and you have music, please send it. You might hear it here. You might hear it on the Mirror Stars podcast, another podcast which I do for fun. There's 5 episodes, by the way, out now on that Mirror Stars podcast. The last one is all about the neighborhoods, and we had a lot of fun doing that one. So check it out. You know how much I love the neighborhoods. All right. We also have an Instagram page, Facebook, Threads, YouTube, where you can watch the Zoom interview I did with Chris Pearson. There's also a TikTok page for now. Who knows what's going on? It's easy. Okay, I'm going to get political here for a second. I have to. It's easy for our Congress to ban TikTok, but they can't ban assault rifles. Come on, man. Come on, people. Get it together. Ugh. That TikTok page is at Twisted Rico. Lots of clips from the shows there. Also, please consider supporting this podcast on our Patreon page, patreon.com/TwistedRico. All right, that's going to do it for this time. Been fun, having a lot of fun, and I'm really excited about number 300. So check it out. Till the next time we say goodbye, this is Blowing Smoke with Twisted Rico. I'm your host, Steve Ricardo. Keep the rock and roll alive.